ಓಂ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರುಭ್ಯೋ ನಮಃ. ಹರಿಹಿ ಓಂ. ಸದಾಶಿವ ಸಮಾರಂಭಾಂ ಶಂಕರಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಮಧ್ಯಮಾಂ ಅಸ್ಮದಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಪರ್ಯಂತಾಂ ವಂದೇ ಗುರು ಪರಂಪರಾಂ ಸದ್ಗುರು ಚರಣಾರವಿಂದಾಭ್ಯಾಂ ನಮಃ. ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಸೂತ್ರ ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ 3 ಪಾದ 3. ಸರ್ವ ವೇದಾಂತ ಪ್ರತ್ಯಯ ಅಧಿಕರಣಂ. ಸರ್ವ ವೇದಾಂತ ಪ್ರತ್ಯಯಂ ಚೋದನಾತ್ಯ ವಿಶೇಷಾತ್ ಭೇದಾನ್ನೇತಿ ಚೇತ್ ನೈಕಸ್ಯಾಮಪಿ ಸ್ವಾಧ್ಯಾಯಸ್ಯ ತಥಾತ್ವೇನ ಹಿ ಸಮಾಚಾರೇ ಅಧಿಕಾರಶ್ಚ ಸವವಚ್ಚ ತನ್ನಿಯಮಃ ದರ್ಶಯತಿ ಚ. ಉಪಸಂಹಾರಾಧಿಕರಣಂ. ಉಪಸಂಹಾರಃ ಅರ್ಥಭೇದಾತ್ ವಿಧಿಶೇಷವತ್ ಸಮಾನೇ ಚ. ಅನ್ಯತಾತ್ವಾಧಿಕರಣಂ. ಅನ್ಯತಾತ್ವಂ ಶಬ್ದಾತ್ ಇತಿ ಚೇತ್ ನ ಅವಿಶೇಷಾತ್ ನವಾ ಪ್ರಕರಣ ಭೇದಾತ್ ಪರೋವರ್ಯಸ್ವಾದಿವತ್ ಸಂಜ್ಞಾತಶ್ಚೇತ್ ತದುಕ್ತಂ ಅಸ್ತಿತು ತದಪಿ. ವ್ಯಾಪ್ತ್ಯಧಿಕರಣಂ. ವ್ಯಾಪ್ತೇಶ್ಚ ಸಮಂಜಸಂ. ಸರ್ವಾಭೇದಾಧಿಕರಣಂ. ಸರ್ವಾಭೇದಾದ್ ಅನ್ಯತ್ರೇ ಮೇ. ಆನಂದಾದಿತಿಕರಣಂ. ಆನಂದಾದಯಃ ಪ್ರಧಾನಸ್ಯ ಪ್ರಿಯಶಿರಸ್ವಾದಿ ಅಪ್ರಾಪ್ತಿಃ ಉಪಚಯ ಅಪಚಯೌ ಹಿ ಭೇದೇ ಇತರೇತು ಅರ್ಥ ಸಾಮಾನ್ಯಾತ್. ಆಧ್ಯಾನಾಧಿಕರಣಂ. ಆಧ್ಯಾನಾಯ ಪ್ರಯೋಜನ ಅಭಾವಾತ್ ಆತ್ಮಶಬ್ದಾಚ್ಚ. ಆತ್ಮಗೃಹೀತ್ಯಧಿಕರಣಂ. ಆತ್ಮಗೃಹೀತಿಹಿ ಇತರವತ್ ಉತ್ತರಾತ್ ಅನ್ವಯಾದಿತಿ ಚೇತ್ ಸ್ಯಾತ್ ಅವಧಾರಣಾತ್. ಕಾರ್ಯಾಖ್ಯಾನಾಧಿಕರಣಂ. ಕಾರ್ಯಾಖ್ಯಾನಾತ್ ಅಪೂರ್ವಂ. ಸಮಾನಾಧಿಕರಣಂ. ಸಮಾನ ಏವಂಚ ಅಭೇದಾತ್. ಸಂಬಂಧಾಧಿಕರಣಂ. ಸಂಬಂಧಾದೇವಂ ಅನ್ಯತ್ರಾಪಿ ನವಾವಿಶೇಷಾತ್ ದರ್ಶಯತಿ ಚ. ಸಂಭೃತ್ಯಧಿಕರಣಂ. ಸಂಭೃತಿಃ ತು ವ್ಯಾಪ್ತಿಃ ಅಪಿ ಚ ಅತಃ. ಪುರುಷವಿದ್ಯಾಧಿಕರಣಂ. ಪುರುಷವಿದ್ಯಾಯಾಮಿವ ಇವ ಚೇತ್ ಇತರೇಷಾಂ ಅನಾಂ ನಾನಾತ್. ವೇದ್ಯಾದಿತಿಕರಣಂ. ವೇದಾದ್ಯತಿಕರಣಂ. ವೇದಾದಿ ಅರ್ಥಭೇದಾತ್. ಹಾನ್ಯಧಿಕರಣಂ. ಹಾನೌ ತು ಉಪಾಯನ ಶಬ್ದಶೇಷತ್ವಾತ್ ಕುಶಚ್ಛಂತ ಸ್ತುತಿ ಉಪಗಾನವತ್ ತದುಕ್ತಂ. ಸಾಂಪರಾಯಾಧಿಕರಣಂ. ಸಾಂಪರಾಯೇ ತರ್ಥವ್ಯಾಭಾವಾತ್ ತಥಾಹ್ಯನ್ಯೇ ಛಂದದ ಉಪಯ ಅವಿರೋಧಾತ್. ಗತೇ ಅರ್ಥವತ್ವಾಧಿಕರಣಂ. ಗತೇ ಅರ್ಥವತ್ವಂ ಉಭಯತಾ ಅನ್ಯತಾ ಹಿ ವಿರೋಧಃ. ಉಪಪನ್ನಸ್ತಲ್ಲಕ್ಷಣಾರ್ಥ ಉಪಲಬ್ಧೇರ್ಲೋಕವತ್. ಅನಿಯಮಾಧಿಕರಣಂ. ಅನಿಯಮಃ ಸರ್ವಾಸಾಂ ಅವಿರೋಧಃ ಶಬ್ದ ಅನುಮಾನಾಭ್ಯಾಂ. ಯಾವದಧಿಕಾರಾಧಿಕರಣಂ. ಯಾವತ್ ಅಧಿಕಾರಂ ಅವಸ್ಥಿತಿಃ ಆಧಿಕಾರಿಕಾಣಾಂ. ಅಕ್ಷರಧ್ಯಧಿಕರಣಂ. ಅಕ್ಷರಧಿಯಾಂ ತು ಅವರೋಧಃ ಸಾಮಾನ್ಯ ತದ್ಭಾವಾಭ್ಯಾಂ ಔಪಸದವತ್ ತದುಕ್ತಂ. ಇಯದಧಿಕರಣಂ. ಇಯತ್ ಆಮನನಾತ್. ಅಂತರತ್ವಾಧಿಕರಣಂ. ಅಂತರ ಭೂತಗ್ರಾಮವತ್ ಸ್ವಾತ್ಮನಃ. ಅನ್ಯತಾ ಭೇದಾನ್ ಉಪಪತ್ತಿಃ ಇತಿ ಚೇತ್ ನ ಉಪದೇಶಾಂತರವತ್. ವ್ಯತಿಹಾರಾಧಿಕರಣಂ. ವ್ಯತಿಹಾರೋ ವಿಶಿಂಶಂತಿ ಹಿ ಇತರವತ್. ಸತ್ಯಾಧ್ಯತಿಕರಣಂ. ಸೈವ ಹಿ ಸತ್ಯಾದಯಃ. ಕಾಮಾಧ್ಯತಿಕರಣಂ. ಕಾಮಾದಿ ಇತರತ್ರ ತತ್ರ ಚ ಆಯತನಾದಿಭ್ಯಃ. ಆಧಾರಾಧಿಕರಣಂ. ಆಧಾರಾತ್ ಅಲೋಪಃ. ಉಪಸ್ಥಿತೇ ಅತಃ ತದ್ವಚನಾತ್. ತನ್ನಿರ್ಧಾರಣ ಅಧಿಕರಣಂ. ತನ್ನಿರ್ಧಾರಣ ಅನಿಮಯಃ ಅನಿಯಮಃ ತದ್ದೃಷ್ಟೇ ಪೃಥಕ್ ಅಪ್ರತಿಬಂಧಃ ಫಲಂ. ಪ್ರಧಾನಾಧಿಕರಣಂ. ಪ್ರಧಾನವತ್ ಏವ ತದುಕ್ತಂ. ಲಿಂಗಭೂತಸ್ವಧಿಕರಣಂ. ಲಿಂಗಭೂತಸ್ವಾದ್ ತದ್ದಿಬಲೀಯಃ ತದಭಿ. ಪೂರ್ವವಿಕಲ್ಪಃ ಪ್ರಕರಣಾತ್ ಸ್ಯಾತ್ ಕ್ರಿಯಾಮಾನಸವತ್. అతిశేషాచ్ఛ విద్యైవతు నిర్ధారణాత్ దర్శనాచ్ఛ శ్రుత్యాది బలీయః త్వాచన బాధః అనుబంధాదిభ్యః ప్రజ్ఞాంతర పృథక్ త్వవత్ దృష్టశ్చ తదుక్తం న సామాన్యాతపి ఉపలబ్ధేః మృత్యువన్నాహి లోకాపత్తిః పరేణ చ శబ్దస్య తద్విద్యం భూయత్వాత్ అనుబంధః. ఐకాత్మ్యధికరణం ఏక ఆత్మనః శరీరే భావాత్ వ్యతిరేకః తద్భావ అభావిత్వాత్ నతు ఉపలబ్ధివత్. అంగావబద్ధాధికరణం అంగావబద్ధాస్తు న శాఖాసుహి ప్రతివేదం మంత్రాదివద్వా విరోధః. భూమధ్యాయస్తు అధికరణం భూమ్నః క్రతువత్ ధ్యాయస్త్వం తతాహి దర్శయతి. శబ్దాదిభేదాధికరణం నానాశబ్దాదిభేదాత్. వికల్పాధికరణం వికల్పః అవిశిష్టఫలత్వాత్. కామ్యాధికరణం కామ్యాస్తు యథా కామం సముచ్చీయేరన్ నవ పూర్వహేత్వభావాత్. యథాశ్రయభావాధికరణం అంగేషు యథాశ్రయభావః. These after the 61st Sutra of Brahma Sutra, third Pada, namely Yatashraya Bhavadikaranam in the last class. Now we will continue with the 62nd Sutra of this Adhikaranam. Shishtescha, 62nd Sutra, third Pada, third chapter, 421 running Brahma Sutra. Just 1 minute. First, let us give a general introduction to this adhikaranam with one sutra. Here, Purvapakshi says, both the karmangam and karmanga ashrita upasanas have same status. Nachiketa's ritual and Nachiketa's based meditation, as we saw in the Kathopanishad. So the Nachiketa's Agni ritual and the Nachiketa's based meditation, they have got same status because both of them are enjoined by the scriptures. Karmangam are also described by the Vedas, and Karmanga Upasanas also, Karmanga Ashrita Upasanas also are prescribed by the Vedas. So when both are prescribed by Vedas, both of them are to be taken as compulsory part of the ritual. Who is arguing all this? Purvapakshi. So karmangam is compulsory part of karma. And in the same way, karmanga ashrita upasana also is compulsory part of karma. Claiming one is compulsory and the other is optional is not correct. This is the injunction of the Vedas. This is the general analysis of sutra. Now let us do the general analysis of the sutra. Shishtescha, because of the Vedic injunction also, the meditation should be included. Now let us see the significance of the words. Shishtihi means shasanam or vidhi. Because of Vedic injunction of karmanga and karmanga ashrita upasana also, because of that also, upasana should be also included. This is the argument. Now let us go to the next sutra. Samaharat. Samaharat, 63rd sutra, third chapter, 422nd running Brahma Sutra. First, let us give the general introduction to this adhikaranam also with only one sutra. There are simple sutras. Here Vyasacharya says, in Chandogya Upanishad, the Upanishad prescribes a particular upasana. This we have seen many times earlier also. In Chandogya Upanishad, first chapter, fifth section, fifth mantra, it talks about an upasana to be practiced by a Samaveda priest as part of a ritual. All these things are important. It is a upasana practiced by a Samaveda priest as part of a ritual. The mantra is what? Athakalu ya udgitaha sa pranavaha ya pranavaha स उद्गीत इति होतृषदानात् एव अपि दुरुद्गीतम् अनुसमाहरति इति. दट् इस् दि मन्त्र. दि उपनिषत् प्रिस्क्रैब्ड् देर् दट् इस् इट् प्रिस्क्रैब्स् उपासना देर् and the meditation upon what? Upon the aikyam of Samaveda Omkara. We already mentioned earlier, the Samaveda Omkara has got a special name called Udgita, and the Rigveda Omkara, it has got another name. Samaveda Omkara is called Udgita, and Rigveda Omkara is called Pranava. So Pranava Udgita Upasana is to be practiced. Mantra says all that, and Chandogya Upanishad says, if Udgata is the Samaveda priest, I already mentioned to you, in all the yagas there will be four priests. One is the Hotar is the Rigveda priest, and then Advaryu is the Yajurveda priest, then Udgata is the Samaveda priest, and then Brahma is the Atharvaveda priest. So if Udgata practices the Upasana, whatever dosha is there in the Samaveda chanting, that will be rectified. Since always there can be some doshas or other in any ritual, and that too in Samaganam particularly, because it is tougher than Vedic chanting. Therefore, Udgata brings a rectification for this entire ritual. Samaharati means rectification or correction. He does. Since the dosha nivritti is compulsorily required in every ritual, lapses are possible. So the parihara is required, and as a parihara, this upasana is required. And from this, what is clear? The upasana should go with karma. Therefore, the upasana becomes a part of the ritual. So it becomes karmangam. So in every ritual, the correction is an integral part of the ritual. Therefore, also upasana is compulsory. This is the general analysis of this sutra. Now let us see the word analysis. Samaharat means because of the rectification, because of the mediation, meditation should be included in the ritual because of that. And now we'll see the significance of these words. Samaharat means, in this context, it means pariharaha. Pariharaha means rectification. So in Chandogya Upanishad, the verb is used as anusamaharati. So samaharaha means pariharaha. So because of this also, the upasama is compulsory, is the argument. And parihara is compulsory in every ritual, and hence upasama is compulsory because the upasana portion gives rise to this parihara. Let us go to the next sutra. Guna sadharanya shrutescha, 64th sutra, third pada, third chapter, 422nd. First, I will give you the general analysis of this sutra. Here, Purvapakshi says that Omkara is an unique Anga, and it is a part of all rituals prescribed in all Vedas, unlike many other accessories. Because in a yaga or an yajna, there are so many accessories. But he says, Omkara is an unique Anga, unique part of all rituals prescribed in all the Vedas, unlike many other accessories. Therefore, Purvapakshi, he argues that karmanga rupa omkara ashrita upasana. That means what? Those meditations which are to be practiced upon omkara, which is part of the ritual occurring in all the Vedas, not just Samaveda alone. In all the Vedas, should be joined in every ritual, is his argument. It is because omkara is common to all the Vedas. That is the reason he gives. The question is, where is it said that Omkara is common to all the Vedas? That is the question. One can refer to again Chandogya Upanishad, first chapter, first section, ninth mantra, where it is said, how it is said, Teneyam Trayi Vidya Vartate Omiti Ashravayati Omiti Shagumsati Omiti Udgayati Etasya Eva Aksharasya Apachityai Mahimna Rasena. That is the mantra it gives them. So with the help of Omkara alone, all the three Vedas function. Teneyam Trayi Vidya Vartate. All the three Vedas function. In all rituals, Rigveda Omkara is to be changed to Samaveda Venkara Omkara. That should be chanted by the corresponding priest. So Rigveda Omkara, that should be changed to Samaveda Omkara, chanted by the corresponding priest, the Samaveda priest. So Shamshanam means is the chanting of the Rigveda priest. Sagum Santi, that's what we have seen already in the Omiti Sama Nigayanti, Ogum Shomiti Shastrani Sagum Santi, all that we have seen in Sikshavali. So Udgitam is the chanting of the Samaveda priest. Therefore, in every ritual, Omkara has to be changed by the priest involved in the ritual. So if Rigveda priest is there, he will chant it in his way. In the Samaveda. So because Omkara belongs to all the Vedas, the Omkara Upasana should be used in all the rituals. Guna is a technical word used for Angam. This I have mentioned earlier also. Guna is the technical word used for Angam. And any Angam, any part always depends on the Angi. A part is always depends on the whole. Anga is the part, Angi is the whole. So Angam is Paratantram. And similarly, any attribute is dependent on a substance. Hence, the guna is also paratantra. Guna is anga, part, is paratantra. It is not swatantra. Therefore, the word angam is translated as gunaha. And the word guna occurring in the sutra refers to karma anga omkara. And it is common to all the Vedas. And therefore, the anga ashrita upasana forms from all Vedas should be included now in the upasana. Now, let us see the word analysis. Guna sadharanya shrutescha. That is a sutra. Guna sadharanya shrutescha. Cha here means conjunction. Moreover, guna sadharanya shrutehe. Since shruti, Vedas declare Omkara to be common to all the Vedas. Sadharanya means this common to all of them, all the Vedas, because the shruti declares so. Meditation from all Vedas should be included. That is the argument. This is the word meaning. Now let us see the significance of each of these words. Guna sadharanya shrutescha. Karmanga bhuta omkara. Omkara which is part of a ritual. Sadharanya means commonness or common. Shrutehe. Shrutehe means in the shruti. Shruti declaration. That it is common to all shruti statements. That is what is kept in mind here. And what is the Upanishad Sutta, the Vakyam they have? First chapter, first section, ninth mantra of Chandogya. When I say meditation is compulsory, that is the mantra that is kept in mind. That is what I just read. So it is Karmanga Ashrita Upasana. Up to this, it is Purvapaksha's argument so far. And if it is Karmanga Ashrita Upasana, Purvapakshi argument. Now in the following two sutras, we are going to refute this by Siddhanti. How Siddhanti refutes these arguments, we are going to see in the last two sutras of this Adhikara. Nava tat sahabhava shrutehe. Nava tat sahabhava shrutehe. 65th sutra, third pada, third chapter, 424th running Brahma Sutra. And this and the following sutra, they give the conclusion of this Adhikara. First, let us give the general analysis to this sutra. That relates to Siddhanta. Now Purvapaksha is over. We are going to refute it now in the next last two sutras. Siddhanta sutras, they both are. And Vyasacharya starts saying that all arguments given by the Purvapaksha are not relevant at all. They are not correct. He says that the Karmanga Upasanas are not compulsory because there is no Shruti statement, Vedic statement, that says that Karmanga Upasanas are compulsory. That is Vyasacharya's contention. But we have Shruti usages that point out Karmangam is compulsory. There are Shruti usages that point out Karmangam is compulsory. Omkara chanting should be done, but the Upasana is not said to be compulsory. You should be able to distinguish between these two. Omkara chanting should be done, but the Upasana is not said to be compulsory. Whenever Vedic rituals are talked about, it talks of various accessories. This we have seen earlier also. And how they should be employed in the ritual are also talked about. But in the description of Upasanas, they are not included in a particular place as a compulsory thing at all in Vedas. How to take a vessel, when to take a vessel, how to employ the vessel, they are all mentioned in the Vedas. In all the Shrauta Karmas, how to deploy all these accessories have been mentioned. The rituals give all the details. But while detailing the ritual, Veda does not mention the Upasana. It is silent actually. It does not include in the ritual the Karmanga Upasana in any systematic manner at all. And Karmanga Upasana, therefore, is not compulsory. So inclusion of Karmanga Upasana becomes optional. In the same pattern, Anga Upasanas are not included in the ritualistic portion, and from that it is clear that is also optional. And there is another argument also given in one of the previous Adhikaranas that we saw earlier. In fact, this particular topic has been discussed in Brahma Sutra, in the 42nd Brahma Sutra of 3rd chapter, 3rd Pada, we have seen actually. Tan Nirdhara Nayamaha Tadrishtehe Pradak Apratibandha Phala. We have seen this sutra, 42nd sutra of 3rd chapter, 3rd pada. And this particular adhikaranam is only to reinforce the same idea here again. There we have given another argument, which we have to bring here. And there it was said, even without upasana, karma can be done as per the Vedas. Shruti, Vedas say, even without upasana, one can do the Vedokta karma. Refer to Chandogya actually, where it is said that Karmanga Upasana may be included or may not be included while doing any ritual. Without Upasana, the ritual will produce the result. And if you include the Upasana, the result will have an increased benefit. If doing the ritual without the Upasana will not be Nishpala, it will give the result. But if you include Upasana also, then it gives an increased benefit. Karma will not go waste at all without Karmanga Upasana. So the point is that the phalam will be less. Therefore, Shruti Pramana Abhavat for Karmanga Upasana, that is the rejection that Vyasacharya brings here. We cannot make it compulsory. Now let us go to the word analysis of this sutra. Nava Tat Sahabhava Shrutehe. Nava. Nava means this is not at all correct. Tat saha bhava shrutehe. Because there are no shruti statements abhava. There is no shruti statements which enjoin the compulsory inclusion of meditation. Now let us see the significance of these words. Na va. Na va. Here the Purvapakshi's view is not at all correct to refute that these particular words are used. Na va. And the pramana is what? Tat sahabhava shrutehe. That is the pramana. Karmanga upasana need not be compulsorily included. There are no shruti statements for compulsory inclusion of karmanga upasana is the contention of Vyasachari. Now let us go to the next sutra. Darshanachya. 66th sutra. Third pada, third chapter. 425th running Brahma Sutra. First, let us see a general analysis of this sutra also. Here also, another Chandogya Upanishad mantra is quoted by Vyasacharya. Chandogya mantra is the 4th chapter, 17th section, 10th mantra of Chandogya. And that says, evam vidam eva brahma yajnam yajamanam sarvan ritvijaha ashva abhirakshati. That is the statement. In every ritual, there must be one priest called Brahma. Evam vidam eva Brahma. One priest called Brahma should be there in addition to the other three priests. In addition to all the other three priests, there should be one priest called Brahma should be there in all the rituals. And the other three priests should be connected to the other three Vedas. Brahma has to know all the three Vedas. And his job is to prescribe prayaschittam, parihara, whenever any priest goes wrong. And he is to look for mistakes only, mostly all the time, and do pariharam also. Not only just to look for mistakes, one should be able to be proficient enough to give a parihara antidote. So if karmanga upasanas are compulsory, then the karmanga upasanas themselves will do the restitution. Then Brahma will have no work. Why there should be need for Brahma at all? Whereas Chandogya Upanishad says, Brahma is part of a ritual to prescribe a parihara, and from that also it is clear that the karmanga upasanas are not compulsory. Because Brahma, the priest who represents the Brahma, he will take care of the parihara. Since Brahma is mentioned, karmanga upasana is not compulsory, is the argument. This is the general analysis of the sutra. Now let us see the word analysis. Darshanat cha. Cha means moreover. Darshanat. Darshanat means since Shruti reveals this in Chandogya Upanishad, meditation need not be included. That what Shruti reveals, that we have to supply. The significance of the word now is, since Shruti indirectly reveals Brahma will do the parihara, karmanga upasana is not compulsory. Because mention of Brahma is given, Brahma's role is this. So indirectly Shruti reveals that Brahma is to be there, so he will do the parihara. With this we complete the third pada of the third chapter of Brahma Sutra with 36 adhikaranams and 66 sutras. I already mentioned to you, this is the largest pada with so many adhikaranams, so many sutras. It appears to be actually a difficult pada because Purva Mimamsa is applied here. Wherever Purva Mimamsa comes, we have a lot of confusion also. Now we have to enter the fourth pada, and before that's the last pada of this chapter. And before we go to the fourth pada, let us first take stock of whatever we have covered so far in this place. And the name of the third chapter, as I mentioned, is Sadhana Adhyaya. All the four padas of the third chapter, they deal with sadhana for moksha. Moksha sadhana, all of them. Of various sadhanas, the first pada of the third chapter elaborated the travel of jiva after death by taking what? The Panchagni Vidya of Brihadaranyaka Upanishad and Chandogya Upanishad. We saw both of them elaborately, Panchagni Vidya. And the purpose of this vichara is, the inquiry is what? Is to know what is samsara. That is the real intent. Samsara literally means traveling from body to body. Samsara means transmigration. It is not uniformly going upwards as theory of evolution claims. If you take theory of evolution, Darwinian theory of evolution, from amoeba all the way to man, it is going upwards. They present the graph as uniform upward motion. But Vedantins, we say, it is like that graph of like, or like a snake and ladder. It goes up, goes down, all kinds like sine curve kind of thing. And not systematic. And jiva helplessly travels from shariram to sharira. We have seen all these things in detail. So the purpose of the study is to give vairagyam. That is the intent. Vairagyam is considered to be the most important supplementary to jnanam. Vairagya rahita jnanam is only scriptural scholarship. Veda patena viprasyat. He can at best become a scholar. Jnanam will be gained only when you have vairagyam or detachment, dispassion. And in the second pada of chapter 3, we had tat, tvam, padartha, vichara. The inquiry into the tat pada and tvam pada of the Mahavakyam Tattvamasi. And it dealt with the nature of jivatma and paramatma, which is considered very important sadhana. We saw that also in detail at that time. And there I pointed out, padajnanam vakyajnanasya sadhanam. Knowledge of the word padajnanam is necessary or is a means for the knowledge of sentence, vakyajnanasya sadhanam. Sentence is made of words alone. Therefore, padam is an angam and vakyam is angi. This anga, angi, all those things, we also should be familiar with all those terms. Therefore, tvampada vichara and tatpada vichara, they were analyzed then. Similarly, Ishvara Swarupam was also analyzed. Nature of Ishvara. It is sadhana for Mahavakya Jnanam. And this Jnanam is needed for moksha. Then varieties of vidyas were also taken up. Predominantly, Saguna Vidya or Ishvara Upasana. Nirguna Vidya or Brahma Jnanam. We talked about those also. Vidya, the term Vidya is commonly used for Saguna Brahma Upasana and Nirguna Brahma Jnanam, both. we should be very specific as to what we study, as to whether Saguna Upasana is what we are doing or Nirguna Jnana we are pursuing. Saguna Upasana is a very important sadhana for Jnanam and Moksha. We have to be careful. It is only through Upasana, Sadhana Chaturthika Sampatti will come. Then only Adhikaritvam will come. Therefore, if Upasana is very relevant for all of us in terms of pursuit of Jnana. So the only thing in Brahma Sutra is Upasana analyzed are called Vedic Upasanas here. All the Upasanas analyzed here, they are all Vedic Upasanas, which is no more prevalent today. Almost gone. Vedic Upasanas are almost gone. That is why this chapter becomes also a dry chapter out of context, because we may not be able to relate to many of these Upasanas, as many of you have even asked questions during our discussions. Now, Vedic Upasanas are replaced by Puranic Upasanas or Agama Upasanas. They are much more attractive. But Upasana is important. Whether it is Vedic Upasana or Puranic Upasanas, Upasana is important. The discussion in the third pada was what? Which Upasanas can be combined and treated as one? And which all Upasanas cannot be combined and should be treated as different? That was the exercise we had to go through in this particular analysis. So the combination of attributes in various Upasanas, that was called Kuna, Guna Upasamharaha. We already started with this discussion in third pada itself, Guna Upasamharaha. But generally, they name the third pada as Guna Upasamhara pada only. This also I mentioned at the introduction. So the third pada we have completed now. And the essence is what? Never neglect Upasanas. Upasana should not be neglected, because people at times ask this question. All these complicated Upasanas, why should we do at all? Never neglect Upasanas is the contention. And I will remind you that nowadays many people use the word Upasana in the name of actually physical worship of the Lord. It can be still called only karma. Any physical worship of the Lord can be called only a karma, not a Upasana. Even oral worship cannot be called Upasana. It comes under Kayika Vachika Karma only. Upasana is merely a mental activity. The definition of Upasana is what? Saguna Brahma Vishaya Manasa Vyaparaha. Saguna Brahma Vishaya Manasa Vyaparaha. It is purely a mental exercise. No body is involved. No speech is involved. A mental activity which is God-centered is called Upasana. So we should be clear in the way we understand this particular terminology. Upasana here is a mental activity which is God-centered. That is Upasana. So this mental exercise can be mental puja also. Mental puja is also called Upasana. Mental parayanam is called Upasana. And the mental pilgrimage is also called Upasana. You can be sitting wherever you are and you can go to Manasarovara, Kailas, all places you can go and come back. So this Upasana is very important sadhana, because it gives three important virtues for the seeker and turns the extrovert mind to introvert mind. Our lifestyle is always fast. Only Upasana develops antarmukhatvam, introvertedness. Upasana also develops chitta shuddhi. In addition to karma yoga, Upasana also gives chitta shuddhi. Upasana develops chitta shuddhi, chitta ekagrata, all that thing. This is the essence of the third pada. With this, the third pada is now over. Now let us go to the fourth pada, the last pada of third chapter. Let us first give a general introduction to this fourth pada of the third chapter. Fourth pada is also part of sadhana adhyaya, and sadhana is the topic of this pada also. It is Brahma Vidya Sadhanani. And technically, they use the word Brahma Vidya Anga Sadhanani. Brahma Vidya Anga Sadhanani. Many of the sadhanas are useful for upasanas also. Karma is not only useful for Atma Jnanam, but it is useful for upasana also. If one does not practice karma yoga, his mind will be turbulent. We have mentioned this many times. From karmi, one should transform to karma yogi. A non-karma yogi will not enjoy a calm, serene, tranquil mind. And generally, that person will brood over either the past or will be always concentrated with future. Not only jnanam requires sadhana, but also upasana needs sadhana also. And this anga sadhanas are broadly classified into two. One is called bahiranga sadhanani, and another one is called antaranga sadhanani, external and internal. Bahiranga sadhanani, they contribute in an indirect manner. And antaranga sadhanas, they are directly contributing indirectly also. All types of rituals are considered as bahiranga sadhanas, which indirectly helps a person to produce jnana, to gain jnana. Karma will come under bahiranga sadhana only. All karmas, charity, pilgrimage, yogasanas, they all relate to bahiranga sadhanas. Vedanta shravanam mananam nididhyasanam are proximate means, and they are closer to atmajnana. So they are called antaranga sadhana. So Vedanta shravanam, Vedanta mananam, nididhyasanam, they all come under antaranga sadhana. Rituals can be reduced, pilgrimage can be reduced, but vairagyam can never be reduced. That is the intention here. Bahiranga sadhanas are droppable sadhanas. We can call them droppable. We don't have to have them at all also. You don't have to go through pilgrimages. You don't have to do any of those. But antaranga sadhanas, nobody can drop. Bahiranga sadhanas are droppable. Sadhana chatushtaya sampatti should be there during shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam. That only gives the adhikaritvam, viveka, vairagya, samadhi, shatka, sampatti, mukshutvam, all that they have seen, they give the eligibility for a person to pursue jnana marga. Shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam. Technically, it is Vedanta sadhana vichara. This is why every stage of life in our tradition is called an ashrama. Brahmacharya ashrama, grahastha ashrama, vanaspastha ashrama, all that. So whatever we experience in some sadhanas or the other, take them, they all take us near atmajnana. Everything that you experience in any of those ashramas, they take us close to atmajnana. Every stage of life is an ashrama only if you utilize that stage for jnana prapti. Any stage of life one can use, if it is used for jnana prapti, it is relevant to that ashrama. The pointer is always what? Only one, namely moksha, in any ashrama. So the destination is otherwise always moksha only. That is the topic of the fourth pada, which has got 17 adhikaranams and 52 sutras. This is an important adhikaranam. And the basis for karma yoga in Bhagavad Gita is the fourth pada of Brahma Sutra. So just only to relate to our Smriti Prasthana, namely Bhagavad Gita, the basis for the Karma Yoga topic in Bhagavad Gita, basis is from the fourth pada of Brahma Sutra that we are going to study from today onwards. Let us go to the first adhikaranam, Purushartha adhikaranam, from Sutra 1 to Sutra 17. Purushartho tataha shabdaditi badarayanaha. Purushartho tataha shabdaditi Badarayanaham, first sutra, fourth pada, third chapter, 426th running Brahma Sutra. First, let me give a general introduction to this adhikaranam. As I mentioned, this has 17 sutras. This is called Purushartha adhikaranam. And this is the biggest adhikaranam in the entire Brahma Sutra, with so many sutras in one adhikaranam. And the subject matter is Atmajnana. That is what is going to be discussed. And the controversy is here what? Then only it figures in Brahma Sutra, as I mentioned earlier. Can Atmajnanam give the phalam independently or not? Is the question. Can Atmajnanam give the phalam independently or not? Atmajnana phalam is what? Moksha. So can Atmajnanam give the phalam independently or not? And the Purvapakshi says, especially which Purvapakshi? Purva Mimamsaka, he claims, no, Atmajnanam cannot give phalam independently, is his contention. And he argues, Atmajnanam can never give any benefit by itself. Summarily, what are we talking about? All the other things, moksha and all. It cannot give any benefit by itself. It has to be used only as an angam of a Vaidika karma. Angam is part. Atmajnanam should be used only as an angam of Vaidika karma. The entire Veda is there to prescribe karmas to spiritual seekers, and karmas alone can produce moksha. Atmajnanam is only an angam of karma. These are all charvakas, purvamimamsakas. They are like that. For all of them, material is fundamental, consciousness is incidental. So they all think here Atmajnanam is also a part. By seeing an angam, it makes the karma complete. By seeing the angam, it makes the karma complete. Because it's only an angam. Atmajnanam is only a part. Without the limb and angam, the whole cannot be there at all. If a person does not have a limb, he is called what? Angahinaha. He is not whole. He is not a full, total person. Angahinaha he is. As long as a limb is missing, a person is not a whole, total person. And Purva Mimamsa says, karma is whole only if all angas are there. And one of the angas is Atmajnanam. So karma produces results and Atmajnanam completes karma. That is his argument. Result is produced by what? Karma. And Atmajnanam is what? Is only a part of karma. Whereas Siddhantins, what we say? We say Atmajnanam is not karmangam, is not an anga. On the other hand, Atmajnanam by itself can give the biggest phalam. Namely, moksha purushartha, parama purushartha, namely moksha. So it is independent and swatantra, and it can stand independently on its own feet and bless you, is the contention of Siddhanti. Kevala jnanat moksha palam is emphasized here. Moksha, jnanadeva kaivalya. All these things are mentioned by the Siddhanti. This is the general introduction to this adhikaranam. Discussion is going to be centered on these matters. Now let us do this general analysis. The first sutra that we just read. Jnanam can give result by itself because it is declared so by Veda itself. And the Purva Mimamsaka says, Jnanam is karma angam. Along with Jnanam, rituals should be practiced and sannyasa should never be taken. He doesn't want any sannyasa at all. You be a grahastha, go on doing karmas, you will get moksha. So, Purva Mimamsa is against sannyasa ashrama also. This is the essence of this first sutra. And the pramana, he should have a pramana. He goes to Mundaka Upanishad, 3rd chapter, 2nd section, 9th mantra. There it says, Sayoha Vaitat Paramam Brahma Vedam Brahmaiva Bhavati Na Asyam Abrahmavit Kule Bhavati Tarati Shokam, Tarati Papmanam, Guha Granthi Bhyaha Vimuktaha Amruto Bhavati. This, in Mundaka Upanishad, all this, we have quoted this mantra earlier also in some other discussion. So, the one who knows Brahman merges with Brahman. Paramam Brahma Veda Brahmaiva Bhavati. He mixes with Brahma. Brahma Praptihi alone is the moksha. Or the highest Purushartha is Brahma Praptihi. Brahma is immortal, Brahman, not Chaturmukha Brahma. Brahman is immortal, and therefore, Brahma Prapti is Amrita Prapti. It says that mere knowledge alone is sufficient to gain moksha. You do not require to do any karma at all. And the next quotation is from Taittiriya Upanishad. That also we have seen. Brahma Vida Apnoti Param. Second chapter of Taittiriya Upanishad, Brahmananda Valli. The knower of Brahman, Brahmavid, Apnoti Param, attains the highest Purushartha, namely Moksha. And he also gives a third quotation also from Chandogya Upanishad, Tarati Shokam, Atmavid, 7th chapter, 1st section, 3rd mantra, Tarati Shokam, Atmavid. So one who knows the Atma crosses over sorrow. Atmavid, one who knows Atma, Tarati Shokam crosses over sorrow. So Jnanam removes sorrow. So the first two quotations, namely from the Mundaka Upanishad and also Taittiriya Upanishad, they are for Sukha Prapti. And the third one from Chandogya is for Dukkha Nivritti. This is the general analysis of the sutra. Now let us see the word analysis. What is the sutra now? Purusharthotaha shabdaditi padaraganaha is the sutra. Purushartaha. Purushartaha means there is direct benefit. Purushartotaha, purushartaha ataha. Ataha means from self-knowledge. Ataha refers to from self-knowledge. There is direct benefit from self-knowledge. How he says that? Shabdad. Since this is declared by Shruti. Shabda here means Shruti. Vedas. Since it is declared by Shruti. Iti badarayanaha. Badarayanaha means this is the view of Vyasacharya. Vyasa. Since Vyasacharya resided in Badrinath, he is called Badarayana. Also, it's another name for Vyasacharya. Now let us come to the significance of the words. Purushartha. Purushartha refers to phalam, any result that is called Purushartha, and any result sought after by a human being. It's a Purushartha. Hence, any phalam is called Purushartha. In this context, Purushartha is, in this context, is Moksha phalam, not any other Purushartha. This is Moksha phalam. Ataha. Ataha means from this. Literally, that's what it means, ataha. And here a pronoun is used, which refers to vidya or knowledge. Because always pronouns could be confusing. Unless the context is known, we don't know what it refers to. So here it refers to vidya or knowledge. And we have to arrive at the meaning of the pronoun this, that we will do. So this is the first sutra of the pada, this particular pada, fourth pada, third chapter, first sutra it is. And then what does it mean by this? Because the first sutra itself says this, that means it should refer to something. And this is the very first sutra. And what it means then? The previous pada analyzed vidya. So we have to go to the third pada, which we just concluded. So whatever this pada, this particular first sutra, this word this means here, should refer to something in the third pada of the third chapter, the previous pada. So the previous pada analyzed vidya, and therefore the word ataha should refer to vidya only. That is why when I summarized that third pada referred to vidya. So vidya can produce swatantra phalam without joining karma. That was the statement we made there. Knowledge can produce swatantra phalam. Atma jnanam can produce swatantra phalam, independent phalam, without joining karma. So in the previous pada, third pada, two vidyas were talked about, namely saguna brahma vidya and also nirguna ishvara jnanam. Both we talked about in the previous pada. For that we say we refer to both. When we say vidya, we refer to both. Both were talked about. Even saguna upasana can give independent result without resorting to karma. That is most important. Even saguna upasana can give independent result without resorting to karma. Nirguna brahma jnanam produce sadhyo mukti. Sadhyo mukti means immediate jivan muktaha. A person becomes jivan muktaha. Nirguna brahma jnanam will give him jivan mukti. Whereas saguna brahma jnanam, if it also gives mukti, means what? A saguna brahma upasaka, he will get krama mukti. This is the meaning of the word ataha. So for this word ataha in this sutra, this is how we derive the meaning that it refers to vidya. And shabdad, shabdad means shruti, refers to shruti vakyat, as said the shruti, Vedas, because it is supported by the shruti. So it is Veda praman. Always Shankaracharya, Vyasacharya does all this sutra also based on Veda Pramanam. And Shankaracharya also interprets all of them based on Shruti Pramanam only. That was the biggest this thing that Shankaracharya handles. It is Veda Pramanam. And the three Upanishad Vakyams have been given as Shruti Vakyams that we said. Mundaka Vakyam, Taitri Vakyam and all that. Chandogya Vakyam, all three. So Iti Badarayanaha. This is the view of Vyasacharya Badarayana. That is Siddhanti. When you say Badarayana, refers to all Siddhanti's view. And Jaimini, his own student, as I told earlier, the Purva Mimamsaka, he says, this is not correct. And he will elaborately object our view in the following six sutras. So Jaimini represents Purva Mimamsaka, Purva Pakshi. So the Purva Pakshi is a Purva Mimamsa here. And he is one who is going to object. And the objection is what? The Jnanam can never give any benefit independently. Very categorical statement he makes. Jnanam can never give any benefit independently. But jnanam means all jnanam. It has to go along with karma. Without karma, it is of no use. And this topic we have seen elaborately in Brahma Sutra in the first chapter itself. In the first chapter, first pada, fourth sutra, if you remember, Samanvayadhikaranam, Tattu Samanvayat. We spend a lot of time on discussing this particular sutra, Tattu Samanvayat. There Shankaracharya has analyzed this elaborately. How jnanam alone directly give independently moksha, independently phala. And this portion is the basis for introducing the fourth sutra also, which we will now see next time, next sutra. Okay, I can spend some time. Seshatvat purushartavadaha yata anyeshu iti jaiminihi. This is the second sutra, fourth pada, third chapter. Seshatvat purushartavadaha yata anyeshu iti jaiminihi. So sutras 2 to 7, they are Purvapakshi sutras, and sutra 8 to 17, they relate to Siddhanta. I'm just giving you the structure of this particular pada, the first fourth pada. Sutra 2 to 7 are Purvapakshi sutras, 8 to 17, they relate to Siddhanta. And we are in the first adhikaranam of the fourth section of the third chapter. And as I told, this has 17 sutras. Here alone, we claim knowledge by itself is capable of giving liberation. Knowledge does not require an extraneous factors to assist liberation. That means this is a direct Purvamimamsa Skandana. For arrival of knowledge, we need other factors, upasanas, puja, pilgrimage, for rise of knowledge, for all of them. Once knowledge has come, it is capable of giving liberation. Kevala jnana deva purushartha. Here, the parama purushartha refers to moksha. That is the palam. Brahmavit apnoti param, as we saw in Taittiriya. So various Upanishad mantras support this contention. And now Jaimini, he objects. What does he say? He says it is not so. And in his Jaimini sutras, he argues mere jnanam cannot produce any palam, much less moksha palam. Mere jnanam cannot give any palam. By knowing where is Kailas, I will never get the benefit of enjoying Kailas. I have to physically go there. So in this sutra, Jaimini gives a very technical argument against Siddhanta. And what Jaimini argues is, wherever Jnanadeva Kaivalyam that is mentioned, all of them should not be taken seriously. But he says, make a very blunt statement. Wherever Jnanadeva Kaivalyam is mentioned, all of them should not be taken seriously. He says, all of them are only Arthavada Vakyani. Arthavada means mere glorification, not to be taken as fact. Exaggeration, glorification. They should not be taken literally. That is the argument of Jaimini. And the Purva Mimamsa, he analyzes Veda Purva Bhaga, Karmakanda portion, ritualistic portion of the Vedas, he analyzes. And ordinary inquiry is called Vichara, and reverential inquiry is called Mimamsa, Vedic inquiry is called Mimamsa, and Veda Purva Bhaga inquiry is called Purva Mimamsa, and Veda Anta inquiry is called Uttara Mimamsa. So this Purva Mimamsa deals with rituals, and they are called Vaidika Karmas. All these rituals are called Vaidika Karmas, Vedokta Karmas supported by Vedas. So Shrauta Karmas. And all of them involve several factors. Rituals require several accessories. We have seen that also earlier. Yajamana is required, his Patni is required, priests are required, mantras are required, and so many accessories are required to complete any karma. And each factor is called a karma angam. Angam is required to complete an yajna or any ritual. And this composite ritual is called angi. So karma is angi. Every factor is called an angam. Angani put together will make angi. All angas put together will make angi, the karma. So even if I do a simple Ganapati Homa, you need many angas. All these things are required. For a big yaga, you need various angas. This is one point that we should remember. Any karma requires all these angas. And then the technical word to note is anga or karma anga samskaraha. Samskara, so angas are required. And then samskara. Samskara means refinement. Anga samskara means refinement of angas, or make the anga fit for the ritual. Varieties of activities are mentioned for purification of the parts, angas. Sometimes it is the removal of, for example, husk of the paddy. If you want to get rice, you have to remove the husk. priest has to clean with prokshanam, all that thing he does. These are called anga samskaras. The yajamana has to have upanayanam, wedding to do the ritual. He is fit for doing any ritual only after doing sandhya vandana karma and all that. Similarly, wedding is another samskara for both husband and wife to do a karma. Without it, they are unfit to do many of these Vedic rituals. And some samskaras are there for materials also. Some of them are for the yajamana, the karta, and for the priest also, for the ritvik. So samskaras are vast and varied. Even using appropriate material is a samskara. For example, the ladle with which you use the for oblation, that should be used for operation. You have to use a wooden ladle. Then comes under the ladle samskara. There's a ladle samskara has to be done, making it from appropriate raw material, from the Audumbara tree and all that thing. Thus, all of them will be called Anga samskaras. This is the third. And the fourth point is, not all Angas and Anga samskaras can produce any results by themselves. Suppose someone plucks the bilwa tree, and even the trees are purified. For all this, there is no benefit, and benefit comes only when a samskrita karmanga, the purified flower, is used for ritual, and the angi ritual alone will produce the phala. All the angas are required to do the ritual, but only the ritual alone gives the phala. Angi alone will produce the palam, angam will assist to produce the palam. And the secondary materials and rituals will help the primary ritual to produce the palam, to result. Angam is valid with angi only, and it is invalid by itself. Keval angam and anga samskara, they are nishpalam. Angam is nishpalam. If angam is saphalam, if it can itself give palam itself, then if a part is valid by itself, it will no more be called a part. It will be independent ritual by itself then. So if a ritual is primary or dependent, swatantra or paratantra, is decided by whether it has phalam or not. Thus, any amount of vilva prokshanam will give maybe an exercise to the hand only, and one will not get any adrishta phalam, punyam or anything. The very same phalam will give you archana phalam. If you do archana with the bilva patra to Shiva, that will give the phalam for doing the archana. Even though by cleaning the bilva phalam, plucking them and all those things also are also samskaras, they will not give phalam independently. And the fifth point is, the Purvamimamsa says is, in some places in Vedas, for dravya samskara also phalam is mentioned. Even though the puja dravyams like bilva patra mandal you are using, even for the samskara also palam is mentioned according to Purvamimamsa. So dravya samskara is only an angam, and it has to be normally nishpalam. But palam is mentioned in the Vedas according to Purvamimamsa. So in Purvamimamsa, it is a big debate as to how to handle the Veda Vakyas. That is where I'm coming into. So there are places in Veda itself that Purvamimamsa contends that there is phalam for such samskaras also. Logically, angam should not have any phalam. That's what we said so far. Vedically, anga is given a phalam. Even though normally we say part will not have a phalam, but vedically, Shruti supports saying that anga gives phalam. This is an issue raised in a particular Purvamimamsa Adhikaranam. This we have to utilize in Brahma Sutra Adhikaranam here. We are going to use the discussion in a Brahma Sutra, in a Purvamimamsa Adhikaranam, Jaimini Sutras. Jaimini Sutra, there is in Purvamimamsa. I have mentioned this earlier. So from Jaimini Sutras, we are going to refer to one sutra, and that we will briefly mention. It occurs in Purvamimamsa, and that is called Parnamayi Adhikaranam. That is called Parnamayi Adhikaranam. This Adhikaranam of Purvamimamsa that analyzes a particular Veda Vakyam called Yasya Parnamayi Juhur Bhavati Na Saha Papam Shlokam Ashrunoti. That is the statement this particular sutra makes there, and we are going to take this sutra and try to understand how this can give phalam, and whether we are going to be in agreement with this or not, we are going to see that. So we are going to use that Purvamimamsa Sutra, Jaimini Sutra, to try to discuss this particular Brahma Sutra here. I'll stop with this and we will do this discussion of this particular Jaimini Sutra in the next class. Yo veda dau swara prakto vedante cha pratishtitaha tasya prakritilinasya yaparasamaheshwaraha purnamada purnamidam purnat purnamudachyate purnasya purnamadaya purnamevavasishyate om shanti shanti shantihi shri gurubhyo namaha harihi om shri krishna namaste bye bye